The Last Leaf. There is an area called Greenwich Village in New York. It is a place that became a colony for art people. Two young artists, Sue and John C., had their studio too at the top of the three-story brick building. Some month ago, they met at breakfast at an artist's cafe and found that their taste in art and food were so common that they decided to rent a small studio together. That was in May. In November, a cold, unseen stranger, whom the doctor called Pneumonia, visited the colony, touching people here and there with his icy fingers. Mr. Pneumonia wasn't what you would call an ice old gentleman. He was dangerous and killed many people. John C. was attacked too, and she lay hardly moving on her iron bed, looking through a narrow window at a blank side of the brick building next to her house. One morning, the busy doctor invited Sue into the hallway. "She has one chance in, let's say, 10, he said as he shook down the thermometer. "And that chance is for her to want to leave. Your little lady has made up her mind that she's not going to get well. Has she anything to live for? She wants to paint the Bay of Naples someday," said Sue. "Paint? Bosh! Has anything in her mind worth thinking about? A young man, for instance?" "A man?" said Sue. "Is a man worth..." "But no, doctor, there is nothing of the kind." "Well, it is bad then," said the doctor. "I will do all the science can do, but when my patient begins to count the carriages in her funeral procession, I will subtract 50% from the curative power of medicines. If you make her ask one question about in your winter style and clothes, I will promise you one of 5 chances for her instead of 1 in 10. After the doctor had gone, Sue went into the workroom and cried a little. Then she entered Jonesy's room with her drawing board, whistling a jolly tune. Jonesy lay with her face toward the window. Sue stopped whistling, thinking that she was asleep. She arranged her board and began a drawing to illustrate a magazine story. Young artists must pay their way to art by drawing pictures for magazine stories that young authors write to pay their way to literature. As Sue was sketching a pair of elegant riding through a of cowboy, she heard a low sound and went quickly to the bedside. John's eyes were open wide. She was looking out the window and counting backward. 10, she said, and a little later, 9, and then 8, almost together. Sue looked out of the window. What were there to count? There was only a little yard to be seen, at the blank side of the brick house, 20 feet away. An old ivy vine climbed halfway up the brick wall. The cold breath of autumn had blown its leaves from the vine until its branches were almost bare. "What are you counting, dear?" asked Sue. 6, said Jonesy. And almost a whisper. "They are falling fast now. 3 days ago, there were almost 100. There goes another one. There are only 5 left now." "5 what, dear? Tell her, Sudie." "Leaves. On the ivy vine. When the last one falls, I must go too. I've known that for 3 days. Didn't the doctor tell you?"
"Oh, I've never heard of such nonsense," said Sue. "What have old ivy leaves to do with your getting well?"
"Why, the doctor told me this morning that your chances for getting well soon were..." "Let's see exactly what he said. He said his chances were 10 to 1. Try to take some soup now, and let Sue go back to her drawing, so she can sell it and buy some wine for her sick child and pork chops for my greedy self." No, I don't want to any soup, said Jonesy, keeping her eyes fixed out the window. The girl's another. I want to see the last leaf fall before it gets dark. Then I'll go too. I'm tired of waiting. I want to go sailing down, down, just like one of those poor tired leaves. Try to sleep, said Sue. I must call Berman here to be my model for the old miner. I'll be back in a minute. Don't try to move till I come back. A Berman was a painter who lived beneath them. He was over 60 and had a long beard. Through the years he had been planning to paint a masterpiece, but had never yet begun it. He earned a little by serving as a model to those young artists in the colony who couldn't pay the price of a professional. He always protected the two young artists in the studio above. She found Berman in his bed without a den. In one corner was a blank canvas on an easel that he waited there for 25 years to receive the first line of the masterpiece. She told him of Jonesy and how she feared she would indeed throw damask as a leaf. Birmingham got angry when he heard such idiotic imagines. Burst, he cried. Why do you let her think of such silly things? She is very ill and weak, said Sue, and the fever has left her mind full of strange fancies. God, this is not a place in which one so good as a Miss Jonesy must lie think. Some day I will paint masterpiece, and we shall all go away. God, yes. Jonesy was sleeping when they went upstairs. Sue pulled the shade down and motioned Berman into the other room. And in there, they looked out of the window fearfully at the ivy vine. Berman took his seat as a miner on an upturned kettle for a rock. When Sue awoke from an hour of sleep the next morning, she found her friend with wide-open eyes standing at the drawn green shade. Put it up. I want to see, Jonesy ordered in a whisper. Sue had to obey. But oh, after the beating rain and strong wind, the guest stood out on the brick wall, only one, I believe. It was the left one on the vine. Still dark green at its center, but with the yellow edges of decay. It cut briefly from a branch, some 20 feet above the ground. It is the last one, said Jonesy. It will fall today, and I shall die at the same way, day. Today was going away, and even through the twilight, they could see the lonely ivy leaf clinging to the wall. And then, with the coming of the night, the north wind was blowing, while the rain was still beating against the windows. When it was light north, Jonesy asked Sue to raise his shade. The ivy leaf was still there. The girl lay for a long time looking at it. And then she called Sue, who was preparing chicken soup. I've been a bad girl, Sudie, said Jonesy. Something has made that last leaf stay there to show me how naughty I was. It's wrong to want to die. You might bring me a little soup now. No, bring me a hand mirror first. An hour later, she said, Sudie, someday I hope to paint the Bay of Naples. The doctor came in the afternoon, and Sue talked to him in the hallway. Equal chances, said the doctor, taking Sue's thin, shaking hand in his. With good nursing, you'll win. And now I must see another case. Berman, his name is. Some kind of artist, I believe. Pneumonia, too. There is no hope for him. The next day, the doctor said to Sue, your friend is out of danger. You won. Now only good food and care, that's all. That afternoon, Sue came to the bed where Jonesy lay, and put an arm around her.
I have something to tell you, White Mouse, she said. Mr. Berman died of pneumonia today in hospital. He was ill for 2 days. People found him on the morning of the first day in his room, helpless with pain. His shoes and clothes were wet through. They couldn't imagine where he had been on such a cold night. And they found a lantern, still lighted, and a ladder, and some scattered bushes, and a padding board with green and yellow colors mixed on it. Look out of the window, dear, at the last ivy leaf on the wall. Wouldn't you wonder why it never moved then, the wind blew? Ah, darling, it's Berman's masterpiece. He painted it there, the night that the last leaf fell.